This is Place Matters, a podcast at the intersection of race, place, and poverty, where we explore the belief that the path towards ending inequity and promoting prosperity is through the work of holistic neighborhood development. Welcome to the final series focusing on one of FCS's three pillars. During this season of Place Matters, we will focus on the pillar of economic development. I'm Sean Duncan, the Director of Training and Consulting for FCS, and the host for Place Matters. This season, you have heard a lot about our philosophy and principles on neighborhood economic development. During this episode and the previous one, we are thrilled to give you an inside look at our local businesses by introducing you to the amazing people who run them every day, welcoming customers and ensuring we remain deeply connected to the neighborhood. This week, we are focusing on Community Grounds, our neighborhood coffee shop and cafe that FCS opened to create a local third space, a safe, welcoming environment for neighbors to connect, to belong, to curate neighborhood identity, and to care for one another. Speaking with me today are two of our leaders at Community Grounds, Carlissa Woodruff, who is the kitchen lead, and Brittley Pearson, our barista lead. Not only are they employees and leaders, they are also residents of historic South Atlanta. First, tell me a bit about being a neighbor in South Atlanta. Have you always been in the neighborhood, grown up here, moved here recently? Just talk about your time in the neighborhood.
Sure, I'll start. I grew up in the neighborhood, kind of. I went to Carver High School.
Awesome.
Graduated in 2014.
Okay.
And was a part of the youth group.
Okay.
The FCS, the South Atlanta Youth Group, for 2.5 years.
Okay.
Doing that with my husband, Devron.
Okay.
And then started working at Community Grounds a couple of years ago as well.
Okay.
And then we also live in South Atlanta.
Yeah, yeah.
Through a rental program through FCS as well.
Okay.
And then his parents live in the neighborhood, and he grew up here.
Oh, wow.
From, like, elementary to now.
Oh, wow.
So he's always been a part of the neighborhood, and I kind of just,
yeah,
you know, flew in, yeah, got in with him.
Yeah, yeah. So, very, yeah, cool. Awesome. How about for you?
I feel like with me, been here for a long time.
Okay.
Since I was little, I went to Slater, I went to Price, graduated from Carver.
Okay.
And after that, well, in the midst of middle school and high school, I was going to youth group with FCS. And then that's when, after my high school year, I started going into Refuge Church.
Okay.
And,
yeah,
Refuge Youth.
Mm-hmm.
And then got involved with the Carver Market, and then moved on to Community Grounds. And,
yeah.
Yes, just been here for a long time.
Yeah. So you guys are deeply embedded. You got some deep roots, yeah, in the neighborhood and a lot of different cool connections. So tell me about, since you've been here for a minute,
mm-hmm,
you've seen the neighborhood change, evolve over time. Like, how would you describe some of the changes, good or bad, that you guys have seen in your time in South Atlanta?
I would say the good things that I'm noticing is a lot of diversity among just everyone in general, whether peers or churches. I see a lot of businesses opening, which is always good because there's more opportunities for jobs and people, mm-hmm, programs to do. But with that also comes a lot of, like, houses being built,
yeah,
more foot traffic, more cars. But I'm noticing more good things than bad, I,
okay,
would say.
Yeah.
Well, my perspective.
Yeah, cool.
Just almost like how Carlissa said, I would say diversity is the main thing. I love how I see, like, the community working together. It's like more places where kids can go nowadays, mm-hmm, than how it was in the past from when I was growing up. And I like to see that. And it's just like more places to go to that are around the area now. Like, we have a Publix now.
Mm-hmm.
We have Community Grounds now. Everything is just changing. Basically being more there for the community.
Okay.
And I just feel like that's the best thing that's changing in our community. Don't really see any bad things going on, okay, in the community, more positivity going on. So, I just see growth happening.
So sometimes I think our maybe our residents who are on the maybe older side a little bit, change comes, it can make you nervous. Like, not always, it's not been, but you guys are younger, so like change might be more exciting. So as you think about the future of the neighborhood, like, what are you hopeful for? Like, what would you love to see as South Atlanta continues to grow and evolve? What are some things that aren't here that you would love to see here, or some things you would hope to be true about South Atlanta in the future?
One of the things that I love about our neighborhood is that we have a lot of people that have lived here for a very long time. Like, when FCS does the housing seminars, I love to see, like, the people that have been here for, like, 50-plus years or 80 years, and to still see them in the neighborhood and thriving. So to me, it's important that when we do grow and change, that we still have people that have, you know, not built this place, but have truly seen this place grow from then to now. So my hope is that with the new changes, like with Publix and Summerhill and the Beltline and all those things, is that people can still live in this area and not being forced out or having to move because things are now in high demand or things are more expensive. So that is a concern of mine because I'm a little older than Bradley. But I'm hopeful and positive that with the new changes, especially with FCS here, that that is still something that is possible for me and my family, that we can stay and, you know, reap the benefits from the changes. But also the best part about this neighborhood is just the people in it and the way we are, like, a real community.
How do we grow by addition and not by subtraction and then adding people after that? I feel that.
I feel like with me, I feel like everything, just like in, like I said in the last question, like, I can see growth. And I feel like it is going to be more depending on the time. But I just see, like, how you see, like, different areas starting to come together. I like that. But also, like, I feel like it needs to be, like, certain type of centers going around. At least for, like, homeless people that don't have enough for right now. And I like what FCS is doing when they have, like, the food drive. But now that I'm noticing, it's a lot of homeless people starting to come around lately. Around, like, the wintertime, different seasons, they start coming out more. And I feel like it should at least be, like, a center somewhere around here in the community where they can go get food every day, or at least just get shelter for the nighttime or something like that.
Yeah, as we grow, it can be easy to focus on the people who can afford a nicer, improving neighborhood, and to continue to push out. And I think as Atlanta continues to grow, I think we haven't seen a ton of people experiencing homelessness in the neighborhood, but we'll probably see it more, just as, like, other neighborhoods are kind of, like, pushing them away. And what does it mean to be welcoming, right, to all those? So you guys have grown up the neighborhood, youth group, like, graduate from the local school. How do you feel like your immersion in life growing up in this historic neighborhood has shaped you as a person, your view of the world? How do you feel like it's impacted you to be kind of your unique self?
I feel like, well, on my part, I feel like my experience have made me, like, interested in seeing more. When it comes to, like, diversity and things like that, I want to see more. I want to learn about more people that are different than me. I don't want to, like, I want to get to know my same race, but I want to get to know more outside of me. Because it's different people out there, different personalities, different races, different cultures, everything like that. I want to learn that more, and I feel like that has helped me, like, build me. That I'm more, like, welcoming, it don't matter who you are, like, more welcoming, just because that's how my neighborhood was and that's how I grew up. So, yes, I feel like that's one thing.
For me, it has shaped me a lot. I actually grew up mostly in the West End, so Oakland City, before, you know, they redid the park over there. So it was very much, I would say, I go outside, I go to school at Carver, come home, you say to yourself, it wasn't really a community, I would say.
Okay.
We kind of all just did our own thing.
Okay.
So it was very weird coming over here and started working at FCS. And everyone's like, hi, hey. Like, you know, they want to know how you're doing. And they're invested in you and learning about you and your family and things like that. So that took a while for me to get used to.
Yeah.
Because I didn't grow up, like, with a sense of community until I moved over here.
Yeah.
And then when I experienced it, it became a thing that I wanted everyone to have. So for me, it shaped me as I am as a person, as a mom, because I go out of my way to connect with my neighbors, to, you know, check on them, walk down the street, you know, we clean the roads together, we, you know, check on our elderly neighbors. And that wasn't something I had growing up, but with the way this community just leans on each other and is interested in just even just speaking to someone they don't know, has just shaped me to be more open and more optimistic about meeting new people, more willing to speak without being spoken to first, and also just being more, I would say, just kind to just people that I normally wouldn't speak to. And I think I can say the same for a bit when we, where we work as well. Like, we see pretty much different ages, races coming into the coffee shop and into the market. And these are people I probably would never hang out with out of there. But, you know, they're speaking to us every day, and they, I know things about them and they know things about me. And it's just one of the good things about being in this neighborhood, that it, it truly does feel like a sense of family, because people do care. And it's not just asking you one time a question. It's actually, how can I help? Like, what is that? Can, let me see if I can find someone else who can answer that for you. So for me, it's all the best parts of what has shaped me from a girl into a woman and then a mother. So.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah, and I've other, like, civic city leaders that kind of work across this area of Atlanta have definitely observed, like, something different about South Atlanta. I think, like, that, like, that connectivity and that trust, like, that's, it should be in every neighborhood, but it's not, right? And to, and when you, when you've been in a neighbor that doesn't have anyone that does, like, the difference it makes, I think, in your own mental health and, like, your just sense of, even just, you feel safer, you know, even if, like, the crime statistics are the same, just, like, that I can see a face across the street, know their name, and I know they know my kid's name or whatever, like, I think it's just such a huge, I don't know, I think we're just healthier people, and, like, neighborhoods where we're really connected. Well, tell me about how you guys came to join the Carver Market team. How long have you been on the team? What made you want to jump in and say yes to working for this crazy little cafe on the corner?
For me, I've been working there 3 years. So I started out as a, I was a barista for like a week. So I guess that didn't really count.
You mastered it in a week and had to move on
so
to
good
other things.
I was in a week. And then I, was in the kitchen, and that's where I've been. And now I'm the kitchen lead for Community Grounds. Okay. So I've been there for 3 years, and I started randomly because Jeff needed they needed someone. And they were doing renovations for the new, when y'all were doing like the... new part. So technically, I actually started when we were just having drip coffee
on
the market side.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was just me, the solo team of one.
Yeah.
And that was all.
Yeah.
And so I've been there for 3 years, and I love it. Sometimes not so much, but I love seeing the regulars' faces, and I love seeing some of FCS faces. And
some of FCS some faces. Of, so there are some of you out there.
Some of you guys, you know me, I was just joking. But, like, you guys know my face, and they're like, oh, yeah, I can tell she's had a day today. But, yeah, so...
Yeah, how about you? How'd you come to being on the team? What made you say yes to the opportunity to join the Carver
Market
team?
Well, I only been here for 3 years too. I think I only started. I think I started like 2 days before Carlissa. But
so you got seniority over her, and you kind of like let her know that you're the veteran. Well, you've been around.
Well, no, not too much. But but I think only with me, like, I was. I was really in high school trying to make more money in 12th grade year, just trying to, like, get more responsibilities. So I just wanted to work, literally. Yeah. I didn't tell anybody I was going to go look for a job or anything. I literally just got an application and just
That's awesome.
Oh, I went for the job.
To that, I did say yes because it was right up the street.
Yeah.
Like literally right up the street. Because I was on Lansing at first.
Okay.
So it was like literally right there. Mm. And then Jeff was very interested. Him and Tanisha, the manager at the time, was very interested in working around my schedule. Mm. And they cared about what times work for me. So that was like a huge plus because usually jobs just tell you, you know, I need you then. And if you can't, then we'll try to find someone else. So they were very accommodating. They cared that I lived in the neighborhood and that I was close by. And I believe a couple people from FCS probably saw me twice from Devron and was vouching for me so hard.
Yeah.
And they believed them. Yeah. And luckily they were right. But they've never talked to me. So that was one of the main reasons, too, that I lived close by. I was in the neighborhood. And they cared enough to, I guess, take a chance on hiring me.
Yeah. And you guys have stuck around for 3 years and through some significant changes that not just FCS, but the cafe itself has gone through. What, and I know there's hard moments and we're going to talk about that too. We'll hear some of that. But what makes you want to stick around? Like what, where do you find joy or like what about the work at Community Grounds makes you want to stick it out and be there and continue to invest in that workplace?
I'll say with me, I would say the customers.
Okay.
The customers, I love their personalities. I get to see different personalities of different people every day. Some bad, some good. But even the bad ones are kind of funny sometimes.
Yeah. But they're probably the ones you talk about when you get home more than the...
Yeah, like every time.
Yeah.
And it's mostly like our little VIP crew. Mm-hmm. I really like talking about them when I get home.
Yeah.
It just like bring like joy just to see them just sitting right there, having their conversations every day.
Yeah.
And I would say just that, the VIP crew, the customers, just like how you feel like you feel comfortable in this space where you don't feel like anything's gonna happen.
Yeah.
Just no negative energy most of the time.
Yeah.
Like, it's more positivity. So I guess that's what is the most main thing. And making the drinks, too, because I love experimenting with the drinks.
Oh, yeah? Do you?
Yes.
Do you have, like you just like making things new? Is there a particular type of drink you really love, like getting into how complex it is to make it or something?
Yes. Yeah. I do. And it's the frappe.
Okay.
I love experimenting.
Making them, drinking them, or both?
Both.
Okay.
And having other people drink them too. Yeah. I love that.
Well, I'm I keep resisting because they're expensive, but I want to buy my own espresso maker.
Let's do it.
I keep like I'm pretty obsessed about my like single origin like black coffee, you know, that I'm drinking even right now. But I keep watching these videos online of like...
I'm gonna
follow you guys around and like learn how do I do this? Yes. How do I do this? It just looks like such a great hobby to have. But I don't know if I need more caffeine in my life. But but I really want to learn how to do all that.
It's going to be worth it. I'm telling you. It's going to be worth it.
And I could sub in. You know, somebody gets sick.
See?
I could come over and be like, listen, I'll do all this stuff.
Don't tell
Jeff I said that. He may force this.
Yeah.
Actually, if I get him to buy me an espresso machine, maybe that'd be the bargain. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. How about for you? What brings you joy? What makes you want to stick around?
For me, it's a couple of things. One of them being I take extreme pride in like cooking and baking, and so doing that for pretty much anyone, I just love doing it. But it does give me a sense of like pride and joy doing it for the community that I see people outside of here. And even the kids at Carver, it does make me feel good. Like they come in, they get a good breakfast, their little drinks, and you know, they go about their day. And it also feels good to just feel a sense of community while I'm working for the community as well. Like Brittley mentioned, the regulars coming in, the VIP crew, Rick them, they're there. You see people doing meetings. You see some of you guys coming in. And 90% of the time, it's a fun place to work.
Yeah.
It's not like the most stressful job. So it has a lot of benefits and perks. But for me, I stay because I do see even more potential with Community Grounds and even the market being bigger than what it is now.
Yeah.
And I have faith that with us along the ride, it could get there. So I do Scratch that one. I do see that.
Yeah. Hey guys, just jumping in here real quick with an opportunity for you to bring FCS's principles and practices to your neighborhood. We would love to take you and your local partners through our two-year multi-sector cohort that we call City Shapers. Cohorts launching this year will be partially funded by the Lilly Endowment, so it's a great time to jump in. We have taken three communities through this process already and would love to bring it to you next. Contact us today to learn more at fcsministries.org. Yeah, and some of the people listening are local Atlanta folks. They've probably been to the cafe. Mm-hmm. For anybody and we have some of our listeners are elsewhere that are following FCS and our neighborhood work, how would you describe Community Grounds? Like, everybody knows what a coffee shop is, but I think Community Grounds is its own unique thing. How would you describe what that is to somebody who's not been there?
I think I would describe it as like an oasis of culture, like between race or gender, age. I've seen pretty much people even come in there from just like visiting around, about to go to the airport, and they stop in and they've heard about us, or just people that's lived in the neighborhood, worked here. And it's just always funny to me because I've been to other coffee shops in Atlanta, and I go there and I'm always comparing it to Community Grounds. I'm like, why is it always so many different people that are? It's like, what is it about us that people, they want to work here and they're, doing their meetings, and over here we have someone doing random poetry for some reason. And we have restrict them faithfully every other day. I love to tell Brittany, it's just we have a sense of just diversity there. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't matter. You can be sitting to someone that's like 70, but also having a conversation with someone that's like fresh in high school and learning from them. So I think with us, it's just a very welcoming place. And that's what set us apart. And I can't wait for us to get to a point where it's kind of bigger and expand and just see how many more people and things that we can host there. Like what you were just saying about your coffee.
Yeah.
Imagine you doing lessons or something. Maybe there are people in the neighborhood that wants to learn to do their own coffee or latte art or something. And we host a class for that.
I love it. I love these ideas.
You hear that, Jeff?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay, next segment, we'll start talking about Jeff very directly.
I would say it's like a home. Like how Carlissa said, I have been to a couple coffee shops, and I really complain to people that be with me, and I just be like, oh my gosh, is it just me, or were they rude? Because I don't like that. I'm just like, I thought they were going to say, hey, when I come in, I thought y'all were going to try to figure out, like, with us, when it comes to our customers, they can just tell us, one thing that they kind of want in their coffee or with their food, and we'll just give them a description of things that they can possibly get. But when I could do that in other places, it's just like a different vibe.
Yeah.
Like, I do not like that. And I just feel like with us, we're more welcoming, very much welcoming. Yeah. And just like how she said, with VIP crew again, they bring in a lot of people. And it's just crazy. Even this morning, they were just sitting down, and it was just like this random lady. And she was like, y'all just come here every day? Do y'all just sit here and just talk? And he was like, yeah, we love coming here. And I'm like, that's nice how y'all can just talk to each other. Mm-hmm. And y'all don't even know each other. Y'all just can talk to each other. But just like also with Carlissa, I am ready to see growth, because it is a place where people come and they do different things. Like, we have Spanish class, we have the church people come in on Saturdays, we have some schools coming for like projects and stuff. Like, if we expand and just do more things with the cafe, it'll just be even more
that's cool
improving.
I resonate with you guys describing other coffee shops as having a vibe for a very specific audience. And there's ones that I go to, I love their coffee, and I look around, I'm like, everybody here looks like me. lots of white guys with beards and dress pretty similarly, you know, and it's like, and it's like, okay, that's a business model for them. There's a vibe of like who they're targeting. And there's other places I go, I'm like, oh, I'm the only one who doesn't fit the rest of the vibe here, but I still need some coffee, you know, but like you kind of come into Community Grounds. It's like, there's not like a vibe. The vibe is that it is for everybody. Yeah. Right. And it's like, oh, there's not like a age demographic or a race or an income demographic we're shooting for here. It's like you kind of got a little bit of everything hanging out in there. And I think that is unique across the, I mean, Atlanta's got 4 million coffee shops, right? But I don't often find that the vibe is this like truly inclusive kind of space.
And we're different because we have a grocery store.
That's all. Yeah, that does make a difference. Yeah.
So different.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, what are some of the challenges? Because as you guys know, a number of times a year, different groups visit South Atlanta. They tour our homes. They see the grocery store. They come to the market, and they're learning about all the things FC is up to. And they're like, "Oh, I'd love to have this in our neighborhood." And we tell them some of the good things about it. But we also try to be honest. Like, none of this is easy, right? We're a nonprofit. We're taking on challenging stuff. That's what nonprofits do. Mm-hmm. So, what would you say are some of the challenges of just working in, running, being a part of the local coffee shop like Community Grounds?
I think with any job, when you have a place that you work and it's very diverse, with that comes people obviously with different backgrounds, raised differently, different personalities. And with that is always challenges of how to approach people with love and different learning styles, different leadership styles. So with that, it's just always hard because you're always having to adapt because no one is the same.
Right.
So what works for Brittany does not work for the other employees. And so it's just always a constant reminder to freshen up on how to speak in love and how to be kind and receptive to learning from anyone and receiving information. And I would say, like, we do have a hard time keeping employees because we do try to hire around the area first and in the community because we do believe in, you know, hiring in the community and pouring into those who's over here, giving them opportunities. But with that, it also becomes, because this place feels like home, you kind of treat it like home a little bit, you know? Does it feel like a job sometimes? And it's hard to, you know, sometimes give people tough love and have to let them go and do those things. I feel that's been the hardest thing for me is finding people are easy, but keeping a good core team that kind of sees the vision that we're trying to do has been a challenge for me at least. And I would say, to me, customers are never really a challenge. I always find it amusing because I feel like anywhere you work, I've always worked around like food in general or like, so I'm used to this and I used to work in the airport, so I'm very used to it.
Oh man.
So that's why I kind of can let it roll off my back because I've been at the airport.
Yeah, I feel like it's a walk in the park
compared to... Yeah, so that's what I tell them. I'm like, I've worked in the airport, so this kind of does not feel like even half of what I felt in an hour there. So it doesn't really affect me as much as them, but we get challenges. We have high schoolers, and as you know, they are learning themselves and very much vocal about things. But like I've said earlier, it's all about speaking to them in love, you know, speaking to them on their level, or understanding different cultures and different backgrounds. It's the way I would approach, like, Mr. Rick, for example, who's been in the neighborhood for years and lived here, has seen things grow and change, but he's also older. I wouldn't speak to him the same way I would speak to an 18-year-old. You know, like, hey, you know, like, what's up? Like, chill out. Like, why are you so hangry this morning? I wouldn't say that to Mr. Rick, who's, you know, like, probably upset about his coffee or something, for example. I'd be like, oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Rick. I'll bring it to you. I know that you've been waiting a minute and we're stressed out today. You know, I got you. It's on us today. So it's just knowing those things, knowing, like, the people in your community with regulars and knowing people, not even knowing them, but also if they're new, you know, just taking the extra mile. And I think that's what set us apart is that we do have a sense of community here and a sense of respect. But that also translates to people that are new and maybe extra patience going with that. So it's been a learning curve because, you know, that first year I was very much still fresh from the airport. So it was, you know, rah, back. But then I had to, you know, dial it in. I was like, you know, everyone's hungry here. Everyone's trying to get some coffee. So it's never, I never take it personal anymore. than I did that first year. I was learning. Yeah,
Brantley, how about for you? What challenges would you say come with doing a local cafe?
I would say that the challenges are. I would say my top challenge is the customers. Sometimes.
Customer service is so hard.
It's just like, it literally doesn't get you mad, but it's like a point where you feel like you have to laugh about it because you just can't believe that that actually happened. Mm-hmm. But on another side, it's just like, you just have to have patience, literally. Mm-hmm. When it comes to working, I feel like when it comes to working anywhere, when you have to deal like with customers and food and drinks, you're going to have patience because people are not going to be understanding as other people. And also, I would say another challenge is just basically, like Carlos said, tough love. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't have the same work ethic as you do. So sometimes you have to give them a little more time or try to figure out ways you can work with them. Just so they don't feel like you're coming at them in any type of way. Just things like that. Just basically finding people who wants to build with the community, be a part of this community, and bring positivity instead of negative energy to the community.
Yeah. Like one of the challenges of, I mean, I'd say this is also true about the grocery store, is that kind of what you were saying earlier about retaining employees is like, how do you get people to capture the vision of what we're doing? Because we're, yes, we sell coffee and delicious food. Yes, we're selling healthy groceries. This is all really good. But FCS is always doing more than what's on the surface. Like we're aiming for something bigger than just selling coffee and a sandwich, right? So how would you describe what that is? Like what's the value of Community Grounds that's not just coffee and food? What's the value of this shop being in our neighborhood?
I would say one of the values is it brings opportunities. And I'm not just saying opportunities with a job, but I, as you just mentioned, like FCS has so many programs that is bettering people around and elevating. Like, I think I have a deeper sense of connection to the job because of all that I do through FCS. Like, I rent from FCS, so I'm able to have a home and stay in the neighborhood. Like, I used to be a part of youth group, so mentoring kids that's in the neighborhood, but also seeing them in a coffee shop, also going to their schools, you know, being a part of, like, Refuge Youth, so I go to church in the neighborhood. So it's like, when you are connected to different things in the neighborhood, it doesn't just feel like a job per se. It just feels like you're doing more in general. Does that make sense? Like, I never feel like I'm working. I just feel like I'm fulfilling something deeper than maybe I'm even like looking in right now. I forgot the other part of the question.
No, that's beautiful. That's great.
Thanks.
You paint a really great picture with that. Other benefits to the cafe that are beyond just, well, one, I would say, we wouldn't want to move past the benefit of the delicious food. So I gotta admit, all right, I'm going to tell the truth.
Like,
if I eat a salad or a sandwich for lunch, I generally feel like, okay, I just needed food. I ate a salad, I ate a sandwich. But like, I genuinely look forward to getting it. And I work here, so I've had like, I think there were 7,812 of the sandwiches, right? And I'm still not tired of it yet. I'm like Turkey Club. Yes, I'll have my seventh one for the week, and they're so good. So I mean, so I definitely, there's no shade at all on the amazing drinks we make and the amazing food we make. It's all like when I take my kids to like, I don't know, they want to go to Dunkin' Donuts on the way to school, and we stop and like, Dad, do you want to get one of these breakfast sandwiches? Like, no, they're trash. They're no, just so, like, I've had the best ones. These are so bad. So we definitely produce high quality drinks and food.
Yeah.
But what we're doing is bigger than food, right?
Yeah.
So what would you say is like, what do you see as the benefits, the beauty, the importance, you know, of Community Grounds beyond what we're serving across the counter?
I'll say the benefits are getting people to see different things, I would say. basically giving people chances when other people won't. It's been a couple times where I have seen Jeff try to give people chances when they didn't have enough or they were going through something, and you give them chances here, give you benefits, like as in a loving family. I feel like that's the best benefit you can have. Some people that you can go to, because some people don't have families or they don't have anybody to talk to. But here it's like you have a family and you can be out there with everybody and just feel like it's a caring home for you and you can just be yourself. I would say,
You know, there's another thing that is, I think, unique to the cafe is that we intentionally welcome high school students, where I think most businesses see, not that there's not challenges, let's be honest, but a lot of businesses, I think, just see teenagers as a nuisance, right? As like, you're a disruption to our real customers, and they try to mitigate as much as possible. Like, we don't want that that crowd in there. But we've, but just about every morning during the school year, like, we're, I don't even know the numbers, but there's just so many, like, seeing them come through the parking lot and through our doors and out to school. And we've had to get real efficient on how to make all that work. So we're, so we're not contributing to the students being late to school. But why do you think that is? Why do you think Carver Market has worked so hard to make high school students feel like this is a place for them too?
Because it is. I think it's important to that when you say you are about the community, that you are actually about the community. And Carver, Slater, Price is a big part of the community. A lot of majority of our business comes from families that live in the neighborhood, teachers that work at those schools. And I personally wouldn't be feeling like we're honoring that if we're preventing them from coming into the business. A lot of the kids, this is like, you know, a sense of them getting a little freedom. They're buying their own little coffee and, you know, their breakfast. And they're able to do that because not only are we welcoming them and they feel that, but it's affordable for them to do so. And they can either come over here and get breakfast, lunch, you know, their drinks, but they can also get snacks in the market, and it's close by. They can go to school, and we have a partnership with the schools, and it's not just us, you know, shaking their hand and saying, right, we're, you know, we're doing this, but we are about that, and we say it, and we mean it, and our actions are put behind the words, and for me, that's everything, is saying you're about community and doing things in the community is one thing, but actually, you know, showing up to their schools when they're having something or partnering with them. A lot of our caterings are from, you know, Purpose Built, Slater, their after-school things, and we're connecting with the teachers and principals on how to make it safer for them to get to school, or you know, them asking us, can, is there a cutoff time that, you know, so they can get to school on time. So we're, it's always about including them, but also just making sure we're all on one accord. And I think that is what set us apart, because to them, they're just not a number to us. They're not just a way for us to increase revenue or make more money, but it's how can we make them better, but also how can we make this community better? What can we be doing better to help Slater, Price, or any of these schools? So that is one of the things that I actually like, because even with working with the youth, I do get tired. there are a lot. And I'm sometimes like, here y'all go. Go to class. Go to class. But it's like, you know, I remember when I was at Carver and my husband was working at the coffee shop way when it was, you know, still like a thrift store as well. And I would get a muffin and I would get some coffee and it would be like the highlight of my day because it's not, you know, being served at school and it tastes good and I could cohere and do homework for a little bit and to see where it has grown from then to now. And they get to experience that. They get to wait in and have little, like, you know, meetups with their friends and have teachers have meetings. It's a really cool thing to experience and see how much it's grown and how much it's growing continuously. But a big part of that is us staying true, I think, to our word, but also what FCS in general is about, community and evolving and making sure that we're not pushing anyone out, but as we're welcoming everybody in, we're listening to everybody, seeing and adapting to that. So,
Yeah. Wow. Well, you guys, this is incredible. Thank you so much for
I don't talk often,
being
y'all.
This. Yeah, thank you for sharing in this conversation. And also thank you that, like, you know, Carver Market is beautiful. The space is beautiful, but that's not what makes it special. Mm-hmm. The food is delicious. The drinks are delicious, but that's not the magic. It's you guys. Like, you make it what it is. And there's all those coffee shops that we contrasted it with, and it's the people that make the business what it is. And you guys are clearly making something that is crucial to the health of the neighborhood. So thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome. The best way to learn about our economic development work and everything else we do is to come see it for yourself. We love hosting guests in historic South Atlanta. Coming March of 2024, we will be hosting a two-day immersive event called Open House. Come, meet our team, see our work, and walk the neighborhood. To register, go to fcsministries.org/openhouse. Place Matters is produced by Focused Community Strategies, whose mission it is to partner with under-resourced neighborhoods to provide innovative and holistic development that produces flourishing communities and God's shalom. Place Matters is hosted by FCS's training and consulting team. If you'd like to inquire about our training and consulting services, please reach out to us via our website or find us on LinkedIn and social media. This information can be found in the show notes. If you'd like to watch these episodes, the video can be found on our YouTube channel. If you like this episode, please share it on social media. Your support means a lot to us. This show was edited by Tim Rhodes with music by Eric North. Special thanks to David Park, Becca Klein, and Rose Silva at FCS for their work in organizing and recording these sessions. We would also like to say thanks to our partner, Lilly Endowment, Inc., whose Thriving Congregations grant has made this podcast possible.